Sherlock Holmes in Ripper Street by Scott McQuaid, produced by Pop-Up Theatre.
It was the best of crimes. It was the worst of crimes. That is how I describe the autumn of terror in London's Whitechapel district in 1888. To paraphrase the late, great Charles Dickens, seemed apt, as the quote symbolised an episodic form of storytelling yet to be told. Holmes and I sat opposite one another in an intense game of chess. It had only been 2 months since I had moved back into the Baker Street residence, and only 2 months since the passing of my Mary. I'd not gotten much sleep the night before, as my mind had been restless, plagued with nightmares that seemed so visceral. I had not been myself, trying to mourn while dealing with the usual overbearing personality that is Sherlock Holmes, had left me exhausted. Sherlock had not taken a single case since my return. Perhaps this was his way of showing some kind of support. Surprisingly, he'd not even mentioned the horrific Whitechapel murder that seemed to dominate all the newspapers. 9 days ago, one Mary Ann Nichols, a fallen lady in society, had been brutally murdered in the East End of London. Yet Holmes had not even mentioned the event.
You have a grand gift for silence, Watson. It makes you quite invaluable as a companion.
When you speak like this, Holmes, it makes it very hard for me to play.
Perhaps you should stop playing and try winning.
Oh, fine.
What?
What is it?
I did not see that coming.
Ha! Got you on the back foot, have I, old chap?
Don't be ridiculous. I was referring to the lack of tobacco in my jar.
What?
Checkmate. Perhaps you should retire to bed, old boy, as your midnight antics have not gone unnoticed.
I just can't seem to get a full night's sleep.
Quiet lips, busy mind.
Well, the paper still hasn't arrived yet. I suppose I'll take a stroll down the road and pick one up myself. Might wake me up.
Really, Watson, why bother? People confuse what they read in newspapers with actual news. Besides, you may want to wait until you hear what Inspector Lestrade has to say.
Lestrade is coming over?
I assume so, yes.
Do you know why?
There was another murder in Whitechapel last night.
What? How do you know?
My dear Watson, it is my job to know what other people do not know.
Who?
Another woman. Her name is Annie Chapman. The body was discovered in Hanbury Street this morning, just before 6 a.m.
How do you know all this?
You know my methods.
Oh, not those irregular street boys.
Indeed, irregular in actions, but not in mind. Now, where is Lestrade? It's almost 9 o'clock.
I didn't think you were interested in this investigation, Holmes.
The death of one prostitute in Whitechapel is merely murder, but the killing of a second makes it a serial killer. This is just the beginning.
Whitechapel, rather unsavoury area, Holmes. The place is a cesspool of crime and prostitution. I remember reading about a murder just a few months ago.
Are you referring to Martha Tabram, found dead at the George Yard buildings?
Yes, that's it. George Yard.
She was stabbed 39 times with a short knife, whereas Polly Nichols and Annie Chapman were slashed across the throat with a large thin knife, then gutted like a fish.
Oh, my word.
It's a different kind of murder altogether. The latest victim, Chapman, had her entire abdomen cut open and her intestines severed from their mesenteric attachments.
Dear God!
Morning, Dr. Watson. Tea?
Yes, please, Mrs. Hudson.
Sherlock?
I'd prefer something a little stronger, but given my current disposition, I suppose I'll settle for a mere beverage infused with dried plant leaves.
A simple yes would do.
Yes, yes.
Something seems to be going on out there this morning. I've never seen Baker Street so busy. People running up and down, yelling. I suspect we'll find out what all the noise is about when the papers are delivered. I don't know why it's so late this morning.
The papers are holding back their print in order to discover more information about this morning's murder.
Murder?
Yes, another another woman in Whitechapel.
Is it, you know, serious?
When is murder not serious?
But I mean, was the body...
mutilated, yes.
Oh my God!
Finally, show them up, Mrs. Hudson, as quick as you can.
Them?
Yes, Watson. Lestrade is not the chief inspector on this investigation. For somebody that reads the news every day, you don't seem to know the news.
Right this way, Inspector Lestrade. Here we are.
Sherlock, Dr. Watson.
Morning, Lestrade.
This is...
Inspector Abberline.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Holmes.
I'll get you a fresh pot of tea.
Inspector Abberline is handling the Whitechapel murders.
Yes, thank you, Lestrade, for that insight. Now stand over there while the adults speak.
As I'm sure you're aware by now, there's been another murder.
Annie Chapman.
Facts, Inspector Abberline, just the facts. Let's start with the first body, Polly Nichols.
That body was discovered on Bucks Row at 3:40 a.m. by a local cartman, a Charles Cross. We have testaments from the people in that area saying that they heard a woman's voice screaming bloody murder. And there was also a bloody handprint found on the wall in the same area. And my theory is that she was killed elsewhere and then the body was dumped there.
Really? And what brings you to this conclusion, Inspector?
Her throat was cut, yet there was hardly any blood spray around the body.
That's because she was strangled to death first, so without blood pressure...
There would be no blood spray.
Right you are, Watson, which means he slit her throat after. Tell me, Inspector Abberline, where did the incision start on her throat?
From the right side of her neck, across to the left.
This would imply that the killer is left-handed, following the motion of the blade, slash coming from behind the woman.
There was an eyewitness that saw Chapman alive just before her death.
Lestrade, I'd almost forgot you were here.
Yes, there was a Mrs. Elizabeth Long. She said she saw Chapman around 5:15 a.m. talking to a man with a moustache and a long dark coat, wearing a brown deerstalker hat.
Deerstalker hat, eh? Holmes, just like yours.
Huh. All right, thank you. That will be all, Inspector.
Are you talking to me or Inspector Abberline?
Both. Now, come, Watson. The game is afoot.
Here is unbearable. Oh, what's that foul smell?
Sewage.
Honestly, it's like hell on earth here.
Whitechapel is a breeding ground for crime and poor behavioural habits.
Hello, Anson. Looking for a good time?
My lady, have some self-respect.
Ooh, a fancy top fire. Underneath all them garments you're like every other man, which ain't much, I can tell ya.
Now, see here, I don't have to stand here and take that kind of...
What's going on over here, Lizzie?
This fella thinks he's the King of England.
I was merely saying...
Ladies, if I may, my learned friend here is a mere tourist in these parts, so he is somewhat at a loss when confronted with the graces of such colourful women like yourselves.
Sweet talker, eh? What do you want?
I'm investigating the recent murders here in the area.
You come to find Leather Apron?
I beg your pardon?
That's what they're calling him, Leather Apron, because he butchers women.
Do you know what, Catherine? I think it's that geezer, Pizer.
You're only saying that because he wears a leather apron.
Did you know the deceased, Annie Chapman?
I mean, I knew her, but we weren't, like, friends. When you're on the game, you know all the women that are working.
Indeed. Well, these murders will continue, so I suggest you keep off the streets.
How am I going to pay my doss?
Find another way.
We've got to work, or we'll die.
Either way, you're dead.
Once again, I had overslept and Mrs. Hudson was frantically rapping on my door. Inspector Lestrade was downstairs, and my fellow companion Sherlock Holmes had left earlier that morning for his weekly self-defense class in Shaftesbury Avenue. It had been 3 weeks since the last murder, and the papers had just started to settle down when my greatest fear had come to light. Leather Apron had struck again, but this time in a double event. After Lestrade briefed me with the details, I immediately took a coach into the heart of the city to find Holmes. He was, as always, in his element, using his wits, but this time in the physical manner.
Very good, Mr. Holmes. Your cane technique is impeccable. In just a few short lessons, you've managed to best me.
I wouldn't say that, old boy. I merely took your lessons of what was possible and refined it to the probable.
Holmes!
Ah, Watson, allow me to introduce London's finest combat specialist in the art of Bartitsu, Mr. Edward Barton Wright.
Afternoon, sir.
Afternoon.
Watson was a fellow pugilist.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Don't be so modest. He was the champion boxer for his regiment.
Ah, a winner in the ring and on the battlefield.
I assure you, sir, there is no winner in war. Besides, that was a long time ago. Holmes, I'm afraid we're needed in Whitechapel.
Of course. Thank you, Edward. Same time next week.
I look forward to the rematch.
I assume this is in regards to Leather Apron.
Not anymore. He has a name. Jack the Ripper.
Then come, Watson. There's not a moment to waste.
Holmes and I took a coach immediately to Whitechapel. The streets were alive with the thirst of fresh blood upon its cobblestones.
Two more victims! I'm Body Sin River!
The papers say they have a letter from the killer sent with a human kidney.
Journalism is just organised gossip.
Abeline has a suspect in custody, Polish immigrant. Aaron Kosminski.
Oh, what has this Kosminski said?
Nothing. They claim he can't speak much English.
I think the killer has to be versed in the English language to lure these women.
He's a barber by trade. I suppose he could have used a razor to slash their throats.
Unlikely. The knife wounds are closer to a surgeon's knife.
A surgeon? Like a doctor?
Precisely.
The two eyewitness accounts both describe the man as a foreigner, a local man, not a doctor.
Not my witness.
Your witness? Holmes casually sat back into the couch, smoking his pipe. It was at this moment that I knew my old friend was about to reveal something unknown yet to the newspapers or Scotland Yard.
What if I told you that on the night of the first Ripper victim, he tried to kill another woman before?
Before Polly Nichols?
Yes. On August the 31st, when Polly was killed, I deduced the Ripper attacked another woman that night. He cut her deeply on the arm, causing her to cry out for help. Bloody murder.
Inspector Abeline said an eyewitness heard somebody screaming bloody murder, but they assumed it was Polly.
Exactly. What if the cries came from somebody else? An unidentified victim. She's cut on the arm, she screams, and then pulls herself up from the ground with her bloody hand.
The bloody handprint on the wall?
Yes. She then manages to reach the London Hospital, which is 100 yards away.
You spoke to her?
Unfortunately, no. My deductions are made from the hospital records. A few days ago, the newspaper reported on an unnamed survivor of a Ripper attack. So I naturally went to the hospital, and the only woman with knife wounds that had been admitted was one Margaret Millis. Her wounds were said to have been made by a long, thin knife. She came in on the night Polly was killed and stayed a few days. Her whereabouts now are unknown.
Remarkable.
It's elementary, my dear Watson.
A crowd had gathered on the streets around the latest victim, with all residents wanting a glimpse, but immediately regretting it upon seeing the dead body. What a scene! There's Abberline.
Mr. Holmes, come this way.
Fred Best from the Star. Detective Holmes, what's your take on Jack the Ripper being Polish?
Murder is common, logic rare.
Come on, give something. A quote, anything. I'm just like the people here trying to make a living.
My good man, you are a penny a liner. That's a steady job. With that accent, you are not from this borough of London at a guess. I'd say perhaps Lambeth. You are not from the East End. You are not one of them. So don't pretend you understand what it's like here.
Out of the way, Best. Go sell your paper somewhere else. Just over here. Come on, let us through. There she is. Elizabeth Stride.
Watson, care to take a look?
Yes, of course. Well, there's a great deal of disfigurement to her face. The tip of her nose and part of one ear have been cut off. Ugh. The incision in the neck is very deep. If he'd kept going, the head would be completely decapitated.
Perhaps that was his intention, but he was disturbed, caught in the act, which is why it's a double event. Take us to the second body, Inspector Abberline.
Of course. I'll get us a coach.
You mean it's not within walking distance?
No, the second murder's not in Whitechapel.
What?
It crossed over the boundary to the city. It's in Mitre Square.
What had made the killer break his routine and kill beyond the boundaries of Whitechapel? That was the question on Sherlock Holmes's mind.
This is the fourth victim, Catherine Eddowes.
Dear God! She's been torn apart!
Yes, I suspect after being disturbed during his kill on Elizabeth Stride, he took his frustration out on Miss Eddowes here, which is most regrettable.
Let me have a closer examination. The letter you received from the killer, Inspector, wasn't it accompanied by a human kidney?
Yeah, but we figured it's just a hoax.
You may want to rethink your assumption. Her kidney's missing. And that's not all.
What else?
Her uterus.
Let me through. Out of my way. No, no, Catherine, no.
Steady on now, miss. She's gone.
I saw her just the other day.
You were friends?
She helped me find lodgings.
Perhaps you should take her statement, Abberline. What's your name, miss?
Mary Kelly. The Ripper did this, didn't he? It's because she knew.
Knew what?
She knew who he was. She came back from Kent 3 days ago. She said she knew the identity of Jack the Ripper.
Did she say who?
No.
You said you saw her yesterday. Where was this?
In Aldgate. He's coming for us all. He's down on horrors and he shan't quit ripping them till he gets buckled. That cloud. That coming storm.
It had been a long day, and Sherlock had spent most of it studying the Jack the Ripper letter, aptly addressed From Hell.
Read it back to me again, one more time, Watson.
Holmes, I've read this 7 times already.
Then making it an even 8 should not present a difficult task.
I sent you half the kidney I took from one woman, preserved it for you. The other piece I fried and ate. It was very nice. Honestly, the grammar is appalling. Kidney is missing the Y. Preserved has two A's in it. And nice has an S in it instead of a C.
Just read the letter.
All right. I may send you the bloody knife that took it out if you only wait a while longer. Signed, Catch Me When You Can.
Catch me when you can.
Why didn't he sign it Jack the Ripper?
Because Jack the Ripper is nothing more than the result of an overactive imagination.
I don't quite follow.
Jack the Ripper is an invention, a catchy name to which to sell more newspapers. I'm sure you can attribute this name to Mr. Best's work.
Oh.
Wait, how did he spell the word knife?
Excuse me?
The letter, Watson.
Right. K-N-I-F. No, E.
The letter has purposely been written in style to misdirect the reader. We think the misspelling and bad grammar is down to a poor education, or perhaps due to English being a second language. This leads us to make the assumption that the killer is a local resident of Whitechapel, a commoner. But all this writing is deliberate.
How so?
The word knife, he does not render the spelling as in N-I-F, as an untaught person might mistakenly spell the word. No, he shows his awareness of the initial K by spelling the word K-N-I-F. It is my opinion that the writer of this letter is literate and is merely attempting to throw the police off.
Lestrade, what are you doing here at such a late hour?
I hope I'm not disturbing you. I thought you should see this as soon as possible.
What is it?
We found a piece of Catherine Eddowes' apron down Goulston Street, and next to that was some chalk writing on the wall. We believe it might have been written by the killer. Unfortunately, the Metropolitan Police ordered the writing to be erased. They were worried it might cause riots and hate crimes towards the Jewish community in the area. I managed to write down what it said.
Let me see. The Jews are the men that will not be blamed for nothing.
Any idea what it means?
The Jews are the men that will not be blamed for nothing. There's a double negative in there. That's rather common in the Cockney dialect. So taken in that context, it would read, the Jews will not take responsibility for anything.
The word Jews is spelt wrong. J-U-W-E-S. It's consistent with the letter in its bad spelling and grammar.
The prime suspect, Kosminski, is Jewish.
Yes, and what about the other 50,000 Jews living in Whitechapel?
Remember our first case together? A Study in Scarlet. Must be over a year ago now. The killer in that case wrote a message on the wall, but in German.
Rache.
What does it mean?
Revenge. Anyway, Rache was a ploy to fool the police, as this could also well be.
Did you get a photograph of the writing on the wall?
Unfortunately, no. They cleaned the wall immediately.
Strange. Why would the police be so careless with such crucial evidence?
Is it crucial?
Well, it's contact from the killer.
But how do we know that? Perhaps it was nothing more than a piece of graffiti that was written a few days before. It's only relevant now because of the murder in that geographical location.
And the From Hell letter?
There's a chance it could be from him. But there's an even higher chance that it's nothing more than another hoax for more publicity.
Well, it's late, and I must be heading back to the yard. Paperwork and all that.
I'll show you out.
Dr. Watson, I never got to tell you how sorry I was to hear of your wife's passing.
Yes, well, that's in the past. Sorry, I just remembered I must tend to something upstairs. You know the way out.
Is he all right?
It's no use going back to yesterday, because I was a different person then.
Who said that?
Lewis Carroll.
Oh, I'll be in touch.
And I shall be waiting.
It was the best of crimes, It was the worst of crimes. November the 9th, 1888, will be a day forever remembered. The darkest of all days. As I stood over my beloved Mary's grave, clutching a bunch of roses in hand, I knew things would never be the same. It had taken some time for me to realise this, but change was coming, and I had to embrace it. That morning, I had decided to take a stroll through the park from the cemetery before heading back to Baker Street. As I looked up, I saw a familiar figure standing at the end of the pathway. It was Sherlock Holmes. Holmes! What the devil are you doing here?
I decided to take one last walk with an old friend.
His choice of words were, as always, cryptic, yet thought-provoking. We had not walked long before Inspector Lestrade called upon us. How he knew of our whereabouts is unknown to me. Perhaps Mrs. Hudson had steered him in the right direction. Lestrade brought news of the fifth and final victim of Jack the Ripper. As the stagecoach pulled into Whitechapel's Miller's Court, a crowd blocked our pathway to the lodging house of one Mary Jane Kelly. As Inspector Abberline walked us towards the door of the crime scene, I noticed two policemen throwing up in the street. They were pale in complexion, with a look that I'd never seen on a man's face. It was as if their soul had been stripped from their bodies.
I must warn you, what is beyond this door is inhuman. It is the work of the devil himself.
Thank you for the warning, Inspector. Ready, Watson?
I'm ready for whatever coming storm. As the door slowly opened, a coldness came over my body. I felt empty, alone, lost, and scared. No words can describe the horror that lay beyond that door. For it was not another dead body of a woman. There was something unrecognizable. Blood and body parts decorated the inside of the room. I dare not speak any more than this.
Inspector Abberline!
What's this?
A list of suspects.
There were but a handful of men on Sherlock Holmes's list, but the suspects seemed endless. Inspector Abberline had allowed Sherlock to interrogate each suspect at Scotland Yard, but he seemed no closer to finding his killer.
The problem is, we are building cases around these suspects with no factual evidence, so anyone could potentially be a suspect. There's Willie Clarkson, Ostrog, Cutbush, Druitt, Chapman, even the mortuary assistant Robert Mann. However, these are the most viable suspects.
Five men.
Five men for our ill-fated, carnal five women. Let's start with the first, Charles Cross, real name Charles Letchmere. He lied about his name and his resident address. He discovered Mary Polly Nichols. In his statement, he said that he saw a figure of a woman lying on the floor on the opposite side of the street.
So?
So, the second witness, a Robert Paul, arrived at the scene a few minutes later, and he claims he saw Charles Cross standing over the body. All the Ripper's murders took place within Charlie's walk to work.
He walks that route every night. Surely somebody would have noticed if he had blood-stained clothes. I mean, after all, these women were cut to pieces.
If it's bloodstains you're looking for, then we have to consider our Jewish butcher, Jacob Levy. He knows the area well, having lived there all his life. He's handy with a knife and has the perfect cover story to be walking around at night covered in blood. He has to prepare all the daily meat for the morning market. Who is ever going to question the blood on his apron?
Where's his butcher's shop situated?
Aldgate.
That's where Catherine Eddowes spent most of her time.
Indeed. Now, I managed to find some record on Levy, and it appears that he was admitted to a lunatic asylum 2 years prior to the start of the murders. Now, add the fact that his mother died in June, 2 months before the killings began. Perhaps that was his breaking point.
But then you have to consider the anatomical knowledge.
Gutting a pig is not unlike gutting a human. But if you're looking for someone that knows their way around the human anatomy, then look no further than Dr. T.
Tumble T, the American.
Yes, Dr. Francis Tumble T. He posed as a doctor doing more harm than good. He was connected to the death of one of his patients in Boston, and we know he had collected medical specimens, including the uteri. He also displays a great disdain towards women. He was charged with acts of gross indecency with another man on the 7th of November in Whitechapel, but he made bail, so he was free on the 9th of November to visit Mary Kelly.
Quack doctor that collects body parts. Sounds guilty to me.
Certainly guilty. But for what crime?
You still think it's somebody local?
Not necessarily. But for a local man, it's easier to slip through the streets undetected. The local favourite suspect is, of course, Aaron Kosminski. A barber by trade, with mental issues, and of course a great hatred towards women. Especially of the prostitute class.
You don't seem convinced.
I'm not.
Well, it's all here in his medical record. Paranoia, self-abuse, homicidal tendencies.
You see, but you do not observe. What's the trigger?
Trigger?
Nobody wakes up one morning and decides to start a killing spree. It's true to say the tendencies are there, but generally you need a tipping point. Something to trigger those dark thoughts, to make them into actions. Certainly when you consider the mutilation of Mary Kelly, one wonders what beast lurks in the heart of man.
She was right about the coming storm. You said five suspects. Who's the fifth?
The fifth is...
Yes?
The fifth.
Holmes?
Only when you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth.
Are you all right, Holmes?
Yes, I think I'm going to get some air.
Well, hang on. Let me grab my coat.
No. I prefer to be alone.
I had never seen my companion like this before. Holmes had always marched to the beat of his own drum, and his behaviour, although eccentric and erratic at times, his mind was always clear with his emotions. But this evening, he looked distant, unsure of himself, almost afraid. I had been alone at Baker Street for several hours before the clock struck midnight. I was about to turn in for the night when I heard the door downstairs open. At last, Holmes had arrived. Or so I thought. Come in.
Evening, John. Or should I say good morning?
Miss Adler.
Oh, please, we're old friends. Call me Irene.
Irene Adler, or as Sherlock would refer to her, the woman. In his eyes, she eclipses and predominates the whole of her sex. I'd not seen her since the case of King Willem of Bohemia. She was blackmailing him by promising to publish several damaging photos. Tricky case indeed, for she had not bested Holmes, but she has certainly earned his respect. I'm afraid you're out of luck. Sherlock isn't here.
I know. I've come to see you.
Really? What can I do for you?
I'm worried about Sherlock.
You've seen him?
He's at my hotel room.
I see.
This Jack the Ripper case seems to have had a profound effect on him.
Quite so, yeah. It's taken a toll on his mind and health. The lack of evidence has led to no prime suspect, which has been most frustrating for him.
Oh, he knows who the killer is.
He does?
Yes.
Hmm.
I brought his hat with me. I thought you should see for yourself.
Yes, he's really quite fond of this deer stalker.
Like the one the saucy Jack is said to have worn. Look closely at the hat.
Is that...
blood, yes. Tell me, John, do you know the location of your surgical knife?
I assume it's in my old medical bag. I haven't had any use for it in years. Well, what's this all about?
Why do you think the Ripper only kills prostitutes?
I would surmise that he feels he's doing some kind of service.
Service? What do you mean? Well,
to rid the streets plagued with the unclean. To cleanse the soul of society, which these cheating, lying harlots prey upon.
Would you say I'm a harlot?
What?
Well, I too, in the past, have been known to use my... feminine attributes to get something I want. Wouldn't that class me as a harlot? I see you found your surgeon's knife.
My knife's so nice and sharp.
Sherlock saw it.
What did he see?
Everything. It is my curse.
Holmes!
Give me the knife, Watson. You're sick. You need help.
It's time to go to work!
What's going on here?
Right on cue, Lestrade.
I got your message.
Good. Have your men escort Dr. Watson out and take him directly to Colney Hatch Asylum. I have briefed the doctors there. They are awaiting his arrival.
If you say so, Holmes. Men?
Watson, the nightmares will stop. Goodbye, old friend.
One day, men will look back and say, I gave birth to the 20th century.
Take him away, lads.
You were right.
It's the one time I wish I weren't.
Can somebody tell me what's going on?
Yes, of course. I think we all need a drink.
Why have we just had Dr. Watson admitted to a lunatic asylum?
Because he is Jack the Ripper.
What?
Let me explain. Watson has struggled for years with his post-traumatic stress disorder from his tour in the war, the things he saw and probably things he had to do. Now add to that the recent death of his wife, Mary. This triggered his symptoms, flashbacks, nightmares and severe anxiety. This eventually manifested into his alter ego, Jack the Ripper. A split personality, if you will. I do not believe the Dr. Watson we know was ever consciously aware of what his Ripper side was doing.
How long have you known?
Watson was my fifth suspect due to his unusual behaviour and the eyewitness description. He had been moonlighting in the early hours for months, and he was always tired and complaining of horrific nightmares. Little did he know these nightmares were memories. His description matched the eyewitness accounts. A man with a moustache, in a long dark coat, wearing a deer stalker hat. My hat! Somebody that knows the anatomy of the human body like a doctor and skilled with a surgeon's knife. However, despite my instincts, I continued to dismiss this wild theory, blaming it on my overactive brain and fatigue. But then it was something Watson said. While we were at the police station trying to eliminate the suspects on my list, he reminded me of something Mary Kelly said just before we entered the room. When we saw her a week before, she said,
That cloud, that coming storm.
Now, we didn't know who was dead in that room before we entered it. Nobody did. Due to the mass mutilation of the body, the identification was not confirmed until much later. But just before we entered the room, Watson said,
I'm ready for whatever coming storm.
Then, later, in the police station, he said,
She was right about the coming storm.
Her profound words had stayed with him. Unconsciously, he quoted her as we entered the room because he knew she was the murdered woman inside.
I can't believe it.
I'm sorry, Sherlock. I know he was a dear friend to you.
There's nothing to be sorry for. Dr. Watson has retired and returned to Scotland, where he will live out the rest of his days. That will be his story.
What? But he's the Ripper. P- People have a right to know.
No, Lestrade. Jack the Ripper is a faceless killer that ceased his reign of terror upon Whitechapel tonight. Nobody can know the truth. No good can come of it. Whitechapel has long been ignored for its poor living standards and continuous crime. Now the entire world is watching. London's authorities cannot ignore the people's cries anymore. Out of the slums and darkness, a new Whitechapel will rise, and we shall all be the better for it.
What do I tell Inspector Abeline?
Nothing. Let him continue his search, and eventually all things will find their rightful place. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a train to catch.
And that was the last time anybody saw Sherlock Holmes. There were stories of him settling in Paris, and a newspaper reported a sighting of him in Romania, but he never resurfaced, and the Jack the Ripper case remains open and unsolved. As Sherlock once said, there is no greater agony than an untold story.